Loud room. Yeah, seven-point sermon in 20 minutes. I was impressed. So I only got 3 points. So if you do the math, really, it's going to be short today, isn't it? hopefully it won't be too long. So I don't expect any of you to fall asleep. I will be looking. That's good. So hopefully y'all had a good week in the house of God. And you know, when we come, it's amazing, you know, we do tremble sometimes. I don't know about you, but sometimes we tremble when we come to church because we think, God, will you be tender with me today? Do you know what I'm saying? You know, you had a bad week, and you think, I could just do with a bit of encouragement. You gotta tell you what, God tenders mercy, knows no bounds, and he is merciful. Actually, there's a song this morning. Says, mercy said no. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. So I'm going to do a series on Romans, starting in Romans chapter 1. We're going to go Romans chapter 2 next month, Romans chapter 3, 5, 6, I think 7 and 8 I'll put together because it goes well together, and then 9, 10 and onwards. So mercy said no. Has anybody heard this song before? Oh, okay. All right. Not a lot of C.C. Winnin fans. Okay, so C.C. Winnin sings it. And she goes, from the cross he built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within our hearts there's still a war that rages and makes sacrifice so hard to see. At midnight fell upon the crucifixion day. The light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said no. And it goes, somebody goes, mercy said no, I will never let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Oh, thank you, Jesus, 'cause mercy said no. Isn't it lovely? Mercy said no. God's mercy knows no bounds, knows no ends. Thank God for his mercy. So if you want to stand with me, we're going to just read Romans 1 together. So if you want to be able to stand, you want to stand, we'll just read Romans 1 together. So if you haven't done your Bible study reading today, you will this morning, okay? So we'll stand on your feet. It's okay. If you can, be able to. Romans chapter 1. And we're just going to read all the way through. Actually, we're just going to 1 to 17. So it says, greeting, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to faith among the nations for his name, among whom you are called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impact to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. All right, you all have a seat. Thank you very much. Yeah. 18, verse 18, we'll cover next month, because it kind of goes with Romans chapter 2. So how many people know, you know, so it's not in the sermon, but really, so chapters and verses aren't inspired. The word of God is inspired. Yep. So get that. So basically they added that this way. It's easy to memorize scripture. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, and you look it up and, you know, easy to find. But they were added later. It's the word of God, the words of the print that are in the inspired word of God. So as you go through Romans, there's a lot of good memory verses. Romans 1:16, which we just read, is a great one. We'll be looking at that this morning. But really, so if you ever have a problem with sharing the gospel message or just wanting, you know, what is, you know, giving your testimony, start with there. But really, so the next level after giving your testimony, really, is a thing called the Roman Road. Yep, and it's all in Romans. It's really good. So, and it's really silly. So if you're kind of like nervous and you don't know what to say, there's a thing called Romans 3:23. Yep, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8. Romans 10, 9, and 10. Just those four scriptures, you can lead somebody to Christ, and you can preach the gospel message. When we go there, you know, I don't know if you're very versed in taking down notes, and you know, but really, I would take notes, because God speaks to your heart, and you just write it down, and once you go back to it, can't you? Because, just like our brother said, we tend to forget, don't we? You know. It was only 30 minutes if you got to pray. So how much, you know, you know, the next morning, you're like, well, what did that preacher say? And you wrote it down. You're like, oh, yeah, that's what he said. So it just helps in the memory. So we're just going to talk about 3 points. One is be right with yourself is the very first point. Yep. And verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, we are separated by the power of God. Yeah, the gospel of God. Separated by the gospel. So what is the gospel of God? Yep. So there's the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God. So I'm just going to break it down to you. So this way you know what the gospel of Christ is. And you know, it's amazing. So when I break these things down, it's the same gospel message that I preach whenever I preach. Whoever preaches, it's the same gospel message. It's broken down to layman's term and a facet of like a diamond. You know, we just press that facet here. We press that facet here. But this is the gospel of God in a nutshell. The gospel is defined in Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. So he says, blessed are the feet. So we are, God enables us to preach the good news. That's what gospel means. Yep. His Holy Spirit, when we get saved, he brings his Holy Spirit inside us. And not only does he save us, but he empowers us to preach his word to others. Isn't that powerful? He's the enabler. The gospel of God is a fulfillment of promise. Romans 1:2. When he promised before through the prophets of the Holy Scripture. So the gospel of God was promised in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is the reflection of things in the New. So, you know, you see the gospel preachers, yep, they'll look at the Old Testament, and the Old Testament always reflects to the cross of Jesus. And that's a different sermon altogether. The gospel of God is a revelation, Galatians 1:12. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the gospel that we preach is a revelation of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is, what Jesus is about, and why did Jesus die. This is all important, because today's world doesn't know why Jesus died. Yeah. We'll get to that, because I shared the gospel message when, and it was a good conversation. So what does the gospel of God do? It's a manifestation of God's creation. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Ephesians 3:9. From which the beginning of the ages has hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So, it's God's creation. Yep, it's a manifestation of men's rebellion. Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans 3:23, it's one of those scripture memory verses. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's a manifestation of God's love and mercy and grace. Remember we sang mercy, said no, we talked about mercy in the song service, didn't we? It's great. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and what? Mercy. Came through the truth of Jesus Christ. And then there was, and what's about is the manifestation of God's wrath. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from the heaven against all godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And then it's God's salvation. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings what? Salvation to everyone who believes. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us all from unrighteousness. So, and you know, in this gospel message, understand, Christians, that you got to share the bad because the good doesn't become good. Does that make sense? God's grace never becomes amazing grace if you don't know what he saved you from. God's love never becomes God's amazing love if you don't know the stuff and the grime that we find ourselves in. Does that make sense? So it's both. It's kind of like a coin. A coin has two sides, doesn't it? Yep, heads and tails. Yep, you have to toss it in here. And it's like electricity. You know, electricity flows from negative to the positive. Was it positive or negative? I can't remember now. Positive. But it flows, doesn't it? You got to have a negative charge. You got to have a positive. If you don't have that, guess what? It's not going to flow. Yep. It's not going to work. And it's like that with the gospel message, you see. Yep. You got to have the negative in order to make the positive make sense. Yep. So that's the gospel of God. So verse 5 says this. Through him we receive grace. Among you are also called of Jesus Christ. Through him we receive grace. Yep. And what is that grace? It's the grace that restores. It's the grace that redeems. It's a grace that releases miracles. It's grace that enables us to worship God. It's the grace that gives life. Amen? That's the grace of God that we're talking about. That's the grace that God gives out. That's the grace. That's the gospel message. So Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, for by grace you have been saved, what? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not a result of good works, that what? No man should boast. So this is what we do. Trust me, we try to help God out, don't we? I was talking to my wife this morning. She says, we do try to help God out. I don't know why. He doesn't need our help. I might be surprised. Yeah, I try to help him out sometimes. And he's like, what are you doing? I got this under control. And people do this with their good works. Yep, and their good deeds. You ever seen a Picasso painting? Yep. Van Gogh. For Americans, Van Gogh. I speak both languages. Yep. Yeah, you look at a Picasso painting and you think, that is the finished work, isn't it? Yep. The painter is done. You can't go up there with a crayon or with a paintbrush and start adding things onto it, can you? It would be a shame, wouldn't it? Yep, you're doing a perfect painting. Because the artist says, it is finished, it is done. As soon as you try to add something to it, you have ruined it. You've destroyed it, haven't you? Yeah. So it's just like that with the works of Christ, you see. See, it is finished. You can't add to it. As soon as you start adding your good works, your good deeds, yep, you start adding, oh, I go to church, I do this. Well, guess what? It nullifies the work of Christ. Because it is finished on the cross. You're not more righteous, yep, because Jesus did it all on the cross. Yep. You can't be any more right if you got the blood of Jesus over your life. Yep. He makes you whole. He makes you complete. Yep. As soon as you start adding to it, it nullifies the grace of God. Gone. I had Mormons come knock. They don't visit my church, my house anymore, but I had Mormons come knocking on my door last time, And you know, I debated with Mormons before, and you know, it's just a point of argument. So when they came, I was either, I don't know, just not feeling it. So I just went to the jugular vein. Then you go to the jugular vein, choke them. So I just went for the jugular vein. I said, look, I said, you guys come with some and share your message. He goes, yes. Well, I said, look, the only difference between my religion and your religion is you believe it's grace with a little bit of good works, don't you? And he turned to me. So that's right. We do. And I said, my friends, that's what's going to send you to hell. Because you think your self-righteousness adds to the grace of God. It doesn't. Jesus says it's finished. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. So, we can love because he first loved us. The capacity of you receiving God's grace into your life enables you to love others more. And this is very important about being right with yourself. Because you see, in being right with ourselves, it gives a capacity to love other people. If we're not right with ourselves, then we have no capacity to love other people like Christ loved. Does that make sense? Good. So, here's an illustration. This is what God does. This is what God did in my life. Yep. So there's a woman sitting in a king-size mattress. An American king is bigger than a British king for some odd reason. Yeah. A king-size English one is like a queen. Yeah. So you take an American king-size, which I guess is pretty huge bed. Yeah. And this little old lady, this lady was sitting in the middle of the king-size bed. And so picture this. People are walking by her left and right as she's sitting in the middle of this king-size bed. She's clothed, you know. And as she's walking by, people can only reach so far in. And she can only reach so far out because she's in the middle of the bed. Yeah? There's no closeness. It's kind of like her protection, isn't it? Yeah? That's what we do, isn't it? We try to protect ourselves, don't we? Because I don't like being hurt. Do you like being hurt? Yeah, it kind of sucks, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. The tears, the pain, the anguish. But you see, this is what I mean by, well, you got to be right with yourself. Because when you're right with yourself, God enables us to love again. God enables us to get off the mattress so we can touch other people. We are able to take that risk. Because you see, God knows what it's like to have a scarred heart because Jesus had a scarred heart. And so he can heal your scars of your heart. And it goes over and over again. I've had lots of scars in my life. Yeah, I've been a Christian thing for 40 years, four decades. You're going to get scars. But you know what? The enabling of Christ and his grace and mercy on my life enables me to what? To trust again. Yep, I'm not sitting on that king-size bed anymore. Yep, I'm stepping out so I can love other people. And what happens is, I feel their love back. Yep, I am touched to be touched. Yep. So, get out of the middle of the bed if you're there. Amen? It's easy to get there. Trust me. It's so easy. And that's what making yourself right with God. So, once you make yourself right with God by the blood of Jesus, who makes us right and enables us, the Bible says, you know, we love him because he first loved us. We need to be right with others. This makes sense, doesn't it? So, verse 7 says, to all in our own beloved of God, called to be saints. Did you know we are saints? Yep. So, look, I'm an ex-Roman Catholic. Yep. And you had, you know, St. Charles, St. Peter, you know, all the apostles are saints. You know, St. Nicholas. Everybody knows who St. Nicholas is? Santa Claus? Yes, yeah, Santa Claus. Yeah, St. Nicholas. Yeah, yeah. So, all these guys are saints. You win the prize. You go ahead of class. All right, that's right. So, all these people are saints. But the Bible says, look, you are saints. Yep. He makes us saintly. Yep. And you're like, what? Get out of here. Yeah, he does. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are saints. Yep. How good is that? You're like, wow. The importance of Christ does that. I know. It's fantastic, isn't it? So if he makes us saints, then we need to act like saints, don't we? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If God makes us saints, we need to act like it, doesn't it? So let's just, this is where the rubber meets the road. We'll get down to earth here, okay? The Holy Spirit empowers us to be kind. So look, there's a lot of unkind people in this world. Yep. The Bible says it's going to get worse. Yep. Hatred, bitterness. Yep. People giving us up. So how can you beat that? How do you beat people that? Huh? Yeah, take a baseball bat and hit them over the head? I guess that's one way to beat him. It's not Bible. Don't do that. Don't go say, well, the preacher said. You know, no. Don't go there. No. No. You reward by kindness. Yeah. Be kind to them. The Bible says it's like heaping hot coals on their head. Be kind. Yeah. If you haven't done it in a while, try it out. Yeah. Say the person's name. You know, when I go, look. When I go visiting a Tesco store and they got the little name tags. Yep. So, hi, Dolly. How are you doing? Yep. Look, how do you know my name? Yeah. You're like, it's on your name tag. But you know, it's being kind because their name is the most important to them, isn't it? Yep. And by being kind to them, I get the best service. You see? So kindness goes a long way. You know, maybe the person's had a bad day and they're just rude and they just, you know, they're short with you. Yeah. But you know, when you say something kind to them, it just could brighten their day. And they say, what have you got? You know, how can you love like that? I was mean to you and you love me back. Yep. I was unkind to you and you offer me kindness back. What have you got? And you're like, man, I thought you would never ask. Let me tell you. Yeah. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, are we? Yes. That's where you want to be, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Be generous. Yeah, act like saints, forgiving one another. Here we talk about that illustration, isn't it? Forgiving one another, even when it hurts. Yeah, because God forgave us. You know, do not be envious or rude. So look, we are envious because, look, I'm not envious of people who are, you know, ride horses. Because I don't ride horses. I don't have a horse. Yeah. Trust me. Don't even have a saddle. Don't, you know. I like Westerns, but that, I'm not envious. So who am I envious of? I'm envious of people who are in my career field or in my sphere. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just like you are. Yeah. Does that make sense? The Bible says don't be envious. Why? Because our heaven is our home. You know, we can't take any of this with us. Yep. You know, Tutankhamun. Remember Tutankhamun? Yep. Yep. Do you know why we have him in the... we can see Tutankhamun riches today? Because he didn't take him with him. Really? No, it's all true, isn't it? Yeah. You go to a museum, there's Tutankhamun. There's all his riches, there's his wealth. Yep. They stayed behind. Funny enough, isn't it? So look, and the Bible says, look, don't be envious. Yep. Because he ain't taking it with him. Yep. We've got something more richer, don't we? We've got something better off. And really, so the scripture before this is 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. So next time when you say, do you remember? Yep. When? Oh, it keeps no records of wrongs. Oh, I retract that. Yeah, just start retracting it. So look, if you're one of these people that say, I have the gift of God to speak my mind. Yep. I'm telling you now, that's not a gift. Yep. God wouldn't mind if you buried that bad boy right now. You know, just bury that gift. Because you don't give peace. Yeah. Amen. Be kind. be right with others. So look, in being right with others, Ken Stroud always says, always keep short accounts. So no, keep short accounts. Get it right while you are able. Yeah. So, and what I like about it's courage. It's courageous living. Yep. I don't believe in this mamby-pamby Christianity. It's courageous living. So the Bible verse says, look, if you think somebody has an ought against you, you get it right. Yep. So if you think somebody has something against you, whose responsibility is to get it right? Yeah, your responsibility. That's right. The onus is on you, not them. As far as you're able, get it right. Yep. Yeah, Ken Sellers says, you know, there's walk down the street, so there's nothing. Anybody I'm not afraid to talk to. Now, they won't talk to Ken. Yep. But Ken will talk to them. Yeah, how you doing? How you doing? They're kind of like going, oh, yeah, you know. Oh, yeah, man. He believes what he preaches. I like that guy. All right. So, verse 14. He says, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. Verse 14, he says, I'm a debtor. You know we are debtors. In debt to love one another. Romans 13:8, so we're still in Romans, says, let no debt remain outstanding except continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So we are indebted to what? To love one another. That's what we should be in debt to. And sometimes, it's preaching the gospel, isn't it? You know, the Apostle Paul, he preached in Athens, in Mars Hill. I stood on Mars Hill. That's a fantastic place, Mars Hill in Athens. I was there. I was like, oh, this is where the Apostle preached, Paul. And he said, to the men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in all respect, for while I was passing through and examined the objects of your worship, I also found an altar in the inscription to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. What you don't know, I know. What was he doing? He was just loving them. Yep. He was just loving them. Look, folks, I'm going to tell you right. I'll tell you a secret of why do I preach, and why do I, maybe it's the evangelistic heart, but friends don't send friends to hell. Yep. Friends don't send friends to hell. Preach. You know, people know where I stand. Look, without even preaching the gospel message, sometimes they know where I stand. I had a boss come to me. I haven't even said I'm a Christian. I haven't said anything about the gospel message. He looks at me, he says, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, I am a Christian. He says, you're one of those serious Christians, aren't you? You know what I mean? Anybody get me, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm like, are you really a Christian? Yeah. He says, you're one of those preaching Christians, though, aren't you? I said, I am one of those preaching Christians. We preach the gospel message, don't we? You know, it's just not limited to, you know, your pastor, Andrew, myself, and Ken. You know, that God's given you words to speak. His Holy Spirit enables you to speak those words into people's mouths, yep, into their hearts, yep. And he will do exactly that because his word does not return void. So, it's all good stuff. Which leads to the last point. It's pretty good, isn't it? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And so here's Paul. We're not ashamed. Why would he write that down? I am not ashamed of the gospel. So you got to understand, in Rome, yep, he was a Jew. Two, he came from, you know, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the smallest nation, conquered nation of Roman during that time. So it's kind of like, who do you think you are telling me about this fabled Jesus who rose again? You see what I'm saying? Yep. He's a tent maker. Tent makers have, you know, he wasn't a lawyer. Yep. You know, wasn't a physician. Not a very well-to-do, you know, prosperous, kind of like look at me situation, was he? And he's there preaching the gospel. He says, look, I am not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ. Yep. I've got a message. I'm going to proclaim it. And then he says about that salvation. What is that word? You know, in the times of Rome, you see, the emperor was a savior. If you were a dentist, a physician, then they were a savior. And so here he is in Rome. He's proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, look, Jesus Christ is our savior, the one and only savior. And I want to encourage you, look, we preach this gospel message out there, and people don't know that Jesus is the one and only Savior. The guy that I preached to last weekend was like, oh, there's many ways to get to God. This was a thinking man. He was very intelligent. Yep, a great conversation. I said, well, look, I said, Jesus died on the cross for a reason. I said, if there were other ways to get there, Jesus would never have to die on the cross. He goes, oh, really? And then I explained to him, see, I said, Jesus was going to live forever. Did you know that? Jesus was going to live forever because he was sinless. Yep. So death had no reign over him. That's why the Bible says, look, the Bible says that he gave up his life. Yep. He gave up his life because it was his to give, because he was going to live forever. He didn't have to die. He chose because he loved us that much. And so when I explained that message to him, his eyes were open. He was like, oh, I see. And so I finished the conversation. He says, you know what? He says, I think I'm going to try Jesus. So I gave him the illustration. I said, look, if I got an apple and it's juicy and it tastes good, and I tell you, oh, this is fantastic. You don't know until you take a bite, do you? He goes, that's very true. And I said, well, I'm telling you right now, you need to take a bite of the apple of Jesus and find out for yourself to see if he is good. And he is good. Amen. And you know, and he says also, it says, to everyone who believes. Can I tell you that? To everyone who believes. It doesn't matter how old, it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who hurt you. It doesn't matter about your past. He says to everyone who believes. Everybody who believes. Yep. Salvation is yours. Look, I preach to old people. They get saved. Yep. I preach to young people. Guess what? They get saved. Mom and dads, loved ones. Yep. The power of the gospel is this. It's still, people get saved because of it. Because it's the power of God. Yep. The words we speak is life. Yep. And it's life that just penetrates that heart. Yep. And they're like, oh, I never knew. God opens up their eyes. And by the power of prayer, that's why we got that prayer meeting. Yep. It's fantastic. And it just draws them by His Holy Spirit and power. Being right with God. So being right with God enables us to be right with ourselves, which enables us to be right with others and makes us right with God. Isn't that wonderful? And it's all in Romans. Yep. So what are we going to do when we leave this place? We're going to be right with ourselves because of the blood of Jesus, which enables us to love others, to be right with others, and to be right with God because of the power of the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Amen.